Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Episode 126. It is great to be here and be back with my bestie, Esty. How are you, Est?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. I'm currently in Sydney. Been here for a little bit, which is really nice. We've got a cool event tomorrow. It's actually happening tomorrow, but this will be coming out tomorrow, so it probably would have already happened. But we've got a relaunch of Manly Femi Run Community, which will be really fun. A little panel chat. With myself, Loz, and Lids, and then, go for a jog and, just get the community there hyped again and get, new location, new vibe. It's going to be really awesome. I'm excited. Aside from that, I'm good. I've been running. I had, a bit of a down week last week, just following along with my cycle, and, 3 weeks on, 1 week, a little bit down. I still ran pretty decent, but just pulled back a bit. I got to do a speed session with Lids on Tuesday, which was so fun. Definitely didn't keep up with her, just said bye-bye and did my own thing. But yeah, it was so fun to even just train together again, which was really cool, warm up and stuff together. Running's going pretty good. I actually am going to do a race. I've chosen one that's minimal pressure. It's a lot of trails and, just go out there and have a good time. It's the Colour Run in Rotorua in New Zealand on August 10th. So I'm going to do the half. My friend had a ticket and then she is moving countries. So she was like, do you want the ticket? And so that's kind of why I decided to do it. But yeah, I feel like it's a good one to start, no pressure. I feel like it was the universe colliding because it was exactly 12 weeks that I had that conversation with her till race day, and the Femi half marathon plan is 12 weeks. So I was like, oh my God, fun. I'm going to go set this up right now. I'm excited about that and just build up to that nice and safely over time. It'll be awesome. But yeah, everything's pretty good and I'm happy I get to hang out with Lids in person. How are you?
Finally. It's been so fun. We did that session on Tuesday and it was absolutely bucketing, horrible wind, weather, not fun, makes sessions so much harder. But we like to say we love a challenge, and the harder the weather conditions, the more you're going to gain from it because you are working hard, you know. So it was good. I'm good. Training has been going pretty well, just kind of consistently moving through the motions of the training block. I am racing the Nike After Dark LA in 2 weeks, so I'm pretty pumped to start tapering down, to be honest. I feel pretty tired at the moment and quite exhausted, and I think it's probably just where I'm at in the training block with everything and obviously work as well. So I am excited to start tapering and running less and sleeping more. But it's good. I feel like I've had some really good runs lately and get some good sessions in. I did a really good long run in the weekend where I integrated some speed work into the long run. So it's something I would really only suggest for experienced runners who have done quite a few longer distance races and are kind of used to running at a pace for a certain time. But I integrated a kind of fartlek session into my long run, which was 4K, 3K, 2K, 1K with a K float between each. And yeah, it was hard, but that good kind of hard. I definitely didn't feel like I was killing myself, but I also felt like it was, pushing and testing my limits, which I think is really nice. And what else have I been up to? Yeah, just training, really. I am pretty pumped to get over to the US. I'm going to be spending all of June in the US and in Mexico, so I'm really excited about that. And if you haven't seen on my Instagram, I did sign up for Sydney Marathon, which is hectic. I went into this year saying to myself, I'm not going to run a marathon this year. I'm just going to do lots of halves and race more often and kind of focus on the 21Ks to keep some speed in my legs and also not kind of I get very consumed during a marathon block, and I do try and give it my all. And I also know that that is risky for both my mental and my physical health. And so I think that at the start of the year, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm in the right headspace to be training towards 42Ks and do that full block again. But obviously, with what went on in my personal life earlier this year, and then kind of like grieving the loss of my dad and kind of overcoming that. Obviously, I'm still grieving, I will be forever, but I feel like in a better headspace to kind of start focusing more on like what else matters to me. And I do really love the build. I really love committing myself and really going after it. And I do feel like I'm in a better place to do that. So a few weeks ago, my friend, the beautiful Grace from Femi in the Sydney, as well as she runs for King's Cross Track Club, they had a ticket, and I was like, oh my gosh, how often is there like a ticket to a major? It's really hard, as most people listening to this would know, to get into any of the majors. It is a huge, like, I feel very privileged to have the ticket offered. And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. So now I am like in the middle of a marathon block. Well, starting a marathon block, but I have a few races in the next few weeks in preparation as well. So it's kind of like an integration of some half marathon training, tapering, racing, recovering, and then building back into the marathon. I think we're about 15 weeks out now. So it's really not that long away. But Sydney is like an epic marathon. Obviously, now that it's a major, it's huge, and just running through the city will be so fun. So if you are running Sydney Marathon and you're listening to this, we have an Instagram training group online. So if you want to be part of that, I'll put it into the show notes. And if you want to jump into the training group, most of the runners in there right now actually aren't in Sydney. Most of them are like Kiwis or in Melbourne and other cities. But it's nice to kind of feel like you're part of a training group, even though you aren't physically with each other. And we're going to do some Zoom calls and whatnot to just kind of keep each other motivated throughout the training block. So jump into that group in our show notes if you want to be part of it. But yeah, it's fun. Things are moving, which is good.
So excited for you to do another marathon. That'll be awesome. Yeah. I am all for the fact that you took advantage of a ticket for a major because it just seemed, I've never obviously done a marathon or run a major or anything, but from the outside, it looks like the most unreal experience. So yeah, you got to take those moments, eh? It's going to be sick. I'm excited for you.
Do you think you'll run a marathon one day, East?
I definitely want to, 100%. Yeah. I just like, don't know, with my Achilles been on and off for like, 2 years at this point, it's like I can't even fathom being able to run like as much as I would want to yet. So like, yeah, 100%, I really want to do it and I will do one. I just want to get through this and like be able to build my mileage back up. And then I don't know, maybe next year, who knows?
Fun. We need to plan one travel to somewhere overseas to race together. I would be so excited for you to do the marathon. It's just, yeah, such a surreal, incredible experience and amazing achievement. And honestly, changes your life. So I'm very pumped for you.
Fun. I want to do a major with you.
Yes, we need to figure out a way to wrangle our way into some of the majors.
Totally.
But yeah, maybe we can meet all the Femis over in, I don't know, like Tokyo or something. We can all do it together.
That'd be so sick. Done.
It's been really funny. I've been listening to a podcast that I do listen to quite regularly, and the host of the podcast, she's a real legend. I won't name names, but you might be able to put it together. She is training for a half marathon at the moment, and recently she did an episode with one of her friends who's also doing the half marathon, and they're talking about their training. And I'm just like, you go, Queens. Like, they're training for this half marathon. But unfortunately, one of the friends has only got up to 5Ks. I think the half marathon is in like 3 weeks or something. And yeah, I'm listening to these queens talk about their training, and I'm like, oh no, I don't really know if they know what they're getting themselves into. They're doing it for charity, which is awesome, and like, I will always support that. But I do, as a coach, part of me feels a little worried for them because they're so unprepared. But instead of like going out and doing the long Ks and doing the speed work and the proper like Paradise training to get to race day, they're like doing all these other chaotic things, which I think they think is going to really help them get to the race. For example, like they're going and doing the oxygen like hyperbaric chambers, and they're doing like these IV drips and like getting infusions and doing like red light therapy and stuff. And I'm sitting there kind of being like, girls, you could do all the like fun, I don't know, stuff in the world. But it's not necessarily going to replace actually doing the hard work. And so I thought today maybe we could go through a bit of a priority list of things that we should all prioritize when it comes to building towards a race that maybe isn't necessarily all the glitz and glam things, because at the end of the day, like I said, nothing actually replaces doing the hard work.
Yeah, I'm excited for this chat. I think I've seen a couple of videos on like social media of this kind of thing where they rate like nutrition hacks or like supplement hack in terms of like performance gains. And I really, it was just really interesting like hearing from a dietitian their opinion on, you know, a lot of them will be considered fads, and then some of them are legit. So yeah, it'll be interesting to go through the list that you've got, Liz, and see, yeah, see what you think. But then also hopefully help people choose the stuff that is the most beneficial at the time, especially because we're very busy and we're all trying to fit in, no doubt, a lot. So what's like the best thing we can do to actually get prepared for racing?
Okay, so I'm going to start. I've got a list of 10 different things, and I thought we could talk through each of them and maybe then rank them in priority order at the end. So the first one is, you'll like this one, ice baths.
Yeah, ice baths are an interesting one, and I'm probably not up to date with like the hardcore science. Like I know Dr. Stacey Sims says like women in their reproductive years, like you don't actually need to be going as cold as like the 3 or 4 degrees or whatever that a lot of them are, and that we get very similar response to men at about 10 to 14 degrees. I may be getting this completely wrong, so I suggest listening
No,
to her
that's
podcast rather than me. But I think ice baths straight after training something hard have been mostly proven to reduce recovery rate. So like if you finish a really hard session or you finish a gym session and you go straight into an ice bath, I don't think it's going to be helping you that much. But then there's the whole placebo, right? Like if it helps you mentally and you feel like it helps you recover, then maybe it does help you recover. So I think timing is important. Like since hearing that research come out, I definitely try to put my ice baths like at least 6 hours after something hard. So yeah, if I do my speed run in the morning, I would sauna an ice bath in the evening or like stuff like that. But then sometimes if that's not possible, but I just really want to have an ice bath, I'll just do it because it makes me feel good. So yeah, I think there's a mixture of things there. The science is catching up in terms of like what we're understanding around ice baths and for women as well. But if it makes you feel good and you believe it helps you recover, we know the power of the mind. So I think, yeah, it would help. Thoughts? What's your thoughts, Liz?
I think you know my thoughts on ice baths, but that's because I'm a wimp in the cold and I just like can't stand being frozen. So I'm not really that keen. If I do an ice bath, I've done ice baths in like 2 or 3 degrees and it's horrible and just so painful, and it is more like shocking to my body and stressful to my body than beneficial. But I think that like you're right, around 10 degrees, maybe slightly warmer, can be beneficial, and I think they say like maximum 10 minutes. So I'm not a huge fan of it. I wouldn't usually do an ice bath, but I can see why people would. I think jumping in the ocean is probably good enough to make me feel really like refreshed. So I would go there first. The one kind of I guess going on from that is saunas, because I feel like ice baths and saunas kind of go together.
Yeah, I think saunas have been proven to be beneficial, and I sauna 2 to 3 times a week, and they make my muscles less sore. They make my mental health feel great. Every time I leave, I'm like, oh, I'm a new woman. I feel unbelievable. And I've gone into saunas feeling really anxious, come out of them feeling completely content and at peace. And so, yeah, like they're good for your heart health. They're good for muscle recovery. They are really good for you. But I think just being really careful that you hydrate. I think that's one thing that saunas, if you don't hydrate properly, I need to be better with this in terms of actually having like salty water and electrolytes as well. Because I have done saunas before in the evening and then tried to run the next morning, and I can very much tell that I haven't hydrated enough. So I think, yeah, that would be my one tip. But yeah, saunas rule, and I freaking love them.
Yeah, I agree. They do feel good when you walk out and you've like sweated out so much. It definitely feels cleansing. But I'm someone who is constantly dehydrated, and my biggest fear in going to a sauna is that I'm just dehydrating myself even more. I think where it can be beneficial for runners is if you are training for a race where you're going to be running in the heat and getting your body used to that heat tolerance. Like, I think that can be really beneficial. But for me, I would only do them like, I don't know, every now and then, just to kind of sweat when I know that I can replace my hydration, but I am terrible at doing that. So, not a huge fan. Okay, the next one to make yourself a good runner is sleep.
Yeah, I think, oh, everyone knows that that is probably one of the most powerful tools in your toolbox in terms of like recovery, injury prevention, performance gains, like the list goes on. Sleep is like freaking everything.
Yeah, agree. I feel like we don't need to go into that one too much. I think everyone can understand what sleep can do, but it's like really a recovery hack, you know? It is what's going to allow your body to make the adaptations overnight, allow your body to refresh and get ready to go hard again the next day. So sleep, without your sleep, you are sacrificing so much of that recovery and adaptation. It is one of the most important things for sure. What about let's go into hyperbaric chambers. So, for those who don't know, hyperbaric chambers are about increasing the level of oxygen and pumping more oxygen into your body to get yourself oxygenated, I guess. I feel like Beth McKenzie talked about these doing hyperbaric chambers in her training. I've never personally done one, but it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I've never done one myself. I think the evidence is out there and it says that it's beneficial for like VO2 max and oxygen consumption. So I think like they're no cheat though, right? Like you've got to condition your body to the sport that you're doing. But if you're doing everything else and adding that on top, that's great because there is evidence that it helps, right? So yeah, I have nothing against them. I don't think they're the top thing you could do for getting fitter and stronger and faster, but I think that there is evidence that they work.
Agree. I would probably say it's more built for elite performing athletes who are doing sport as their full-time job and they are training so hard and they really need that. But it's probably not something that I would recommend like putting into your training program if you don't have the time or the money to do it.
Yeah, that's a great point about money as well, like accessibility. I don't think they're cheap, right? Like, so that, but going for a run is relatively cheap. Obviously, you need shoes, which and clothes, which do cost money, but like over time, you can use them so many times versus like one-off hyperbaric chamber session. So, yeah, accessibility is another huge one with that. I think they're very expensive.
Speaking of shoes, let's go into that one. How important is a good pair of shoes to become a better runner? Shoes are everything. I genuinely would say a huge reason why I haven't had a lot of injuries is because I've been so lucky to have new shoes quite often and being able to replace my shoes quite regularly. I understand that is a privilege and I'm very lucky to have that, but having a good pair of shoes and replacing your shoes constantly is so important, not only to get the most out of your run. So, for example, if you're wearing a pair of Nike Pegasus and they have a Zoom airbag in them, and being able to replace the shoe, you're replacing the Zoom airbag. So, you're actually keeping that response and being able to actually move faster through your workouts. Like, that is really helpful. But just having that cushioning underfoot is reducing the impact from when you're hitting the road, right? So if you can reduce the impact when you're hitting the road, it's going to put less pressure on your body, on your legs, on your feet to prevent injury as well. So I think investing in a good pair of running shoes is one of the best things that you can do. I think if you had the ability and money to have multiple pairs of shoes, and that might be one speed shoe like a Vaporfly and one training shoe like a Pegasus, that can definitely help as well. It will help you to get through your workouts because you've obviously got a shoe, a super shoe as they get called, to help you run faster and help with the recovery as well. And then you have a training shoe to do your kind of longer, slower miles in. But even having like two pairs of training shoes can be really beneficial. If you're running every 1 or 2 days, then you can alternate between your shoes, which gives your shoe time to also recover, which is a crazy concept. But your cushioning in your shoe does get worn down as you run in them. And if you go for a 15K run, it might take a few hours for the cushioning to kind of like bounce back as well. So actually having a rotation of shoes can be really helpful, but you also just have to find the shoe that works for you. So finding that shoe can take time, but once you've got it, that's something that I would invest into because it definitely helps prevent injury, makes you faster.
Love that. Yeah, I definitely agree. And sometimes I've got mates, that push off buying new running shoes and start to get sore feet. Knees start to hurt. It's not really like I know it's an expensive thing to buy, but they do go for a while. And it's better to try to budget that in, and make sure you're getting new shoes before you start to get to that point where niggles start to pop up. Yeah, it's so worth the money. And some of the other things that we've mentioned before, like if you're doing those and putting off buying shoes, let's put the money where it's really needed. But then yeah, there's so many tricks as well. Like you can go try it. This sounds awful, but you can go try on shoes in shops and then go find the cheapest one online. Like that can help around the financial strain of buying shoes, because I know they are expensive. But yeah, they're so important. You're hitting the ground like tens of thousands of times sometimes when you're running. So imagine that you have something that's not very responsive or cushioned anymore. It's going to be a lot of load on your body. So yeah, agree with you, lids. Shoes are essential.
Love it. The next one I have for you is red light therapy.
Honestly, don't know enough about this. I'm going to put my hand up and say I have no clue what it's meant to do and if it actually helps. So, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree. I wouldn't say I'm the most clued up person on red light therapy. It's a treatment that may help your skin, muscle tissue, and other parts of your body heal. It uses low levels of red light to target your skin cells. It is thought to work through increasing production of mitochondria, your cell's energy sources. So again, it's really like a recovery method that people use post workouts. I think it's somewhere. What I would say about red light therapy beds, particularly, is you go there, you lay in the bed. I don't know how long the sessions last, but it's a real moment to just like stop and relax, and that's probably just as beneficial as the actual red light. So I think it's, to me, the idea of just like lying down with no phone and just being present in the moment is really helpful. So if it takes you to signing up to go get a red light therapy bed session, do that. But yeah, I think I've heard good things about it for your skin, and I'm really keen to try it out for my skin, but I'm not sure if I completely believe in it helping with muscle recovery. What about, you'll like this one, good training programs?
Oh, essential, of course. Good training programs are everything. They're going to help you periodize your training from where you are now to achieve your goal, educate you about the types of trainings that you're doing and why you're doing them at that time and how that's going to help you reach your goal. They allow your body to actually recover after hard sessions. That's what I mean by periodization. Like, you've obviously got periodization across the whole block to get you ready for race day, but then you've got periodization across the week. And a good program means that you're going to do a hard session, and then the following day or two, depending on how accustomed you are to running, is going to be a recovery day. So you give your body that time to actually absorb the hard training and then go hard again, and then absorb the hard training and go hard again. I think people that don't have a good training program that helps them around like paces or like effort level often just go to train as hard as I can every day that I run, and don't see those gains over time because they're not letting their body recover. And they're not doing the different types of training that make you a really strong runner over time. So yeah, a good training program means that you're going to periodize your training. You're going to be able to recover from it. It's going to meet you where you're at. It's not going to be something that's way too hard to achieve or not hard enough. And it's going to get you to race day, hopefully injury-free, educated, and feeling really good. So a good training program is everything if you want to achieve big goals.
Couldn't agree more. We're all about making sure you have the right guidance and education to become a sustainable runner. And the sustainability and consistency in training is where you make progress. So without that, you're going to be struggling, to be honest. So it's so important. I would rank that one pretty high up. Another one I think we're going to be ranking pretty high is food. I can talk definitely about food. I feel like food is probably going to be the number one on my list. Like, without fuel and food, we are unable to do any of the training or withstand the training, recover from the training, and create that consistency in our training. Food is our fuel to execute our sessions, but it is also such an important tool to help us recover from our sessions as well. So I'm sure everybody listening can predict that that will be number one, but if you're not eating and you're not eating enough, then you're not going to be able to do the training. So I would put eating and getting food in ahead of even the running, which, if I'm saying that, you know, it means something.
Totally. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Like, food is literally everything. It's going to help you recover, feel strong, have a regular menstrual cycle. It's, yeah, so key. So yeah, you know how much I love food, and I know how much you love food and how important it is. Number one, baby.
And then the second one, or the next one, which actually leads on from that you just mentioned, is having a regular period.
Yeah, I think super high up there as well. Like, without a regular period, obviously there's reasons that people may not have your regular periods. And if you've had that checked out and that's something you experience, then you can still achieve great things. But if you are potentially suffering from functional hypothalamic amenorrhea, or you know you have REDS, like you've gone to the doctor and you've been told you have REDS, like, in that situation, not having a regular menstrual cycle means that you are at much greater risk of injury. I think you're like 4 times more likely to get a bone stress injury, or even higher than that. You know, you're more susceptible to becoming sick or ill. Like, there's so many things at play when you don't have a regular menstrual cycle. If you've got FHA or REDS, like, that would mean that you cannot show up consistently and train consistently, and build upon, you know, weeks on weeks. Eventually that is going to catch up and you're going to have to deal with what's going on in your body. So regular menstrual cycle is like number one key vital sign for the queens that, yes, we're fueling enough, we're sleeping enough, we're doing all these things that we're talking about here, having a good training plan, etc., so that we can achieve our goals. But without a regular menstrual cycle, you're putting yourself at much greater risk for those things I mentioned before. So the chances of you achieving goals or staying consistent, sustainable training goes pretty low. So I think it's really high up there.
Definitely. I would have to agree. And then the last one is IV drips. What are your thoughts on IV drips? So IV drips are essentially like a drip of supplements that can go into your systems. It might be magnesium, it might be vitamin C, it might be B12. You can kind of get a concoction of different supplements Never have I done that, but what about you? Yes, what are your thoughts?
I've never done it either. I think the only time I would do that is if I've been diagnosed with a deficiency. So like if I was told I had low vitamin B12 or iron, like those are the situations where I'd go and do that. I think, yeah, again, I don't know heaps about them, to be fair. I would be quite wary about pumping myself with heaps of things, unless I knew that I really needed them. So yeah, I imagine that there's some benefit, especially for people with deficiencies, but like just going and doing it without getting like your bloods and stuff done seems a little bit scary to me.
Yes, and just to clarify, if you're getting like iron infusions, that's like because you've been medically diagnosed with low iron, that's different to like going to those IV clinics, where you can just like kind of go in there and get yourself locked in and just get some like magnesium pumped into your veins. And yeah, I agree. I feel like your body can only absorb so much, of these like minerals. And if you aren't deficient, you're probably like overdoing it, or it will go straight through you and you're just wasting your money. So it's probably not something that I would do unless I know that I needed to get it done. Mind you, I would like to try go and get like a vitamin C IV drip and just see how I feel, because my dad was actually on vitamin C IV and his skin was amazing. And I swear it was from that. So I don't know if it would necessarily help from like a running perspective, but it would be nice to kind of feel super healthy if you walk out of there like being pumped full of vitamin C.
Totally. Yeah, I feel like all of these things are so individual. Hey, like if you want to try them, try them. And then pick the ones that are like really powerful to you, but you can't cheat. Like there's no cheating codes in running. Like good sleep, good nutrition, good plan, regular cycle, and good running. As in like you got to put in the work. That's going to get you further than any of these things. But then they could also benefit you, right? And they could make you feel unreal. So, yeah, we're not bagging on any of them, but like everyone's so unique, but you've got to get the basics right first. And then, but if you've got the money and you want to try smashing yourself with vitamin C, like it could be awesome and you could feel unreal. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. If you've got the money and time, then you could definitely go and try some of these things. But like I said, the most important thing when building towards a race is just running and doing the work and doing the training. But in order to do the work and do the training, you need to look after yourself in terms of fuel and sleep as well. So I have listed these out 1 to 10, and I want to know if you agree with me. The first one being food. I think that is the most important thing when it comes to becoming a better runner. You need to get your nutrition right. The second one being sleep. I think that is key. If you aren't sleeping, you aren't recovering, you're definitely going to burn out, get injured, and not be able to train. The third one is regular period. I think that's if you have a cycle, if you have a natural cycle, I think that should come before the actual running, because it's just such a key sign that you're healthy and you're looking after yourself. The fourth one is having a good training program. So to have a good training program and to execute the training, you need to get the first three right? So food, sleep, regular period, then you can actually execute the training. Those, I would say, are the top four things that are crucial to progress your running. Number five would be, to me, would be shoes. So getting yourself a good pair of running shoes, if you can, a couple of pairs of running shoes to rotate, and that will obviously help prevent injury. Number six I have is ice baths. I think those are probably more beneficial than the latter that are coming. Sauna I would put under ice baths just because I believe ice baths are better for recovery. Sauna, and then under that I have IV drips only because I think that there could be benefit, especially if you don't want to get sick and you're building into a race. It might be worth like going in and getting these drips just to prevent sickness, but I don't know if it'll make you run faster unless you're putting something illegal in there. Number 9 would be the hyperbaric chambers, and then number 10 for me would be the red light therapy.
I love that. I would swap sleep with food. So I will put sleep first because, like, even one bad night's sleep has a huge impact on like recovery and muscle and like, and I think the impact of sleep is bigger than the impact of food faster, if that makes sense. So over like a period of time, if you had bad sleeps over 3 days, your body is like cooked. Whereas if you had like low food for 3 days, yes, it's not great. But your body could probably adapt better than sleep. So I would switch those two. And then I agree with everything else you said, aside from I would switch sauna with ice bath. Because I think sauna is a little bit more proven for like muscle soreness and like cardio health and stuff like that. So I would put that above ice bath. And then the other ones, yeah, because I don't know that much about them. I might put hyperbaric chamber above IV and red light just because like there's some evidence around like VO2 and like cardio health and stuff. So pretty similar, couple of differing views, but we're pretty much on the same page.
Would battle it out with you around food and
We're going to be on here for another hour, eh? Just battling.
I get what you mean. I feel like sleep is so important, but so is food. It's a really hard one. You need to get both. Like if you didn't eat for 3 days, you couldn't train, you know? But if you didn't
That's true.
sleep for 3 days, you also couldn't train. So it's there's a spectrum and there's nuance to it. So you have to take that into account. But hopefully that gives you all a bit of an insight into what you should be prioritizing when it comes to running. And maybe we'll send this episode to our friends who are training for their half. I don't know if they have enough time to catch up on the training, but I hope they do well and enjoy it. But yeah, at the end of the day, keep it simple, stupid, and do the small things that really matter and do them well and do them consistently, and you'll make progress in your running.
Love that. Agreed.
Epic. Well, we have a very exciting episode next week, so please come back and listen to that one. But in the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get at us on Instagram at femi.co or head to our direct Instagrams. We're always willing to chat. Or else, thanks, and we'll be back in your ears next week.